100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, Change Your Life Forever, written by Steve Chandler, read by the author. I hope what I'm about to say doesn't offend you, but you have no personality. That each of us has a fixed personality is a complete myth. We make ourselves up as we go along. Charlie Chaplin once entered a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest in Monte Carlo, and the judges awarded him third place. The choices we make for our thinking either motivate us or they don't. And while clear visualization of a goal is a good first step to success in life, self-motivation demands more. To truly motivate yourself and the life you want to live, action's required. As psychologist and author Dr. Nathaniel Brandon has written, a goal without an action plan is a daydream. Self-creation happens once self-motivation is mastered. One flows directly from the other. Motion creates the self. In my experience as a teacher, consultant, and writer, I've accumulated 100 ways of thinking that lead directly to self-motivation. I now present these thoughts to you.
Number 1. Create a vision.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was not well known in 1976 when he and I had lunch together at the Doubletree Inn in Tucson, Arizona. He was in town publicizing the movie Stay Hungry. It was a box office disappointment that he just made. I was a sports columnist for the Tucson Citizen, and my assignment was to spend a full day one-on-one with Arnold and write a feature story about him. So at one point I casually asked him, "Now that you've retired from bodybuilding, what are you going to do next?" And with a voice as calm as if he were telling me about some mundane travel plans, he said, "I'm going to be the number one box office star in all of Hollywood." I tried not to show my shock and amusement at his plan. After all, his first attempt at movies didn't promise much. And his Austrian accent, an awkward, monstrous build, really didn't suggest instant acceptance by movie audiences. So I asked him just how he planned to become Hollywood's top star. "It's the same process I used in bodybuilding," he explained. "What you do is create a vision of who you want to be and then live into that picture as if it were already true." Now notice that Arnold said create a vision. He didn't say that you wait until you receive a vision. You create one. In other words, you can make it up.
Number 2. Tell a true lie.
Recently, my 12-year-old daughter participated in a poetry reading in which all her classmates had to write a so-called lie poem about how great they were. They were supposed to make up untruths about themselves that made them sound unbelievably wonderful. I realized that the children were doing what Arnold did to clarify the picture of his future. By lying to themselves, they were creating a vision of who they wanted to be. So if it's hard for you to imagine the potential in yourself, then you might want to start by beginning to express it as a fantasy, like the children did who wrote the poems. Think up some stories about who you'd like to be. Without a picture of your highest self, you can't live into that self.
Number 3. Leave your comfort zone.
Our society encourages us to seek comfort. And yet, only challenge will test our skills and make us better. Only challenge and the self-motivation to engage the challenge will really transform us. And every challenge we face creates a more skillful self. So it's up to you to constantly look for challenges to motivate yourself. And it's up to you to notice when you're buried alive in a comfort zone. Then break free and fly away.
Number 4. Find your key.
I used to have the feeling that everyone else in life had been issued an instruction book on how to make life work, and I, for some reason, wasn't there when they passed the books out. Still struggling in my mid-30s with a pessimistic outlook and no sense of purpose, I voiced my frustration once to a friend of mine, Dr. Michael Killebrew. He recommended a book to me. The name of the book was The Master Key to Riches by Napoleon Hill. What the book actually did was a lot more than increase my earning capacity, although by practicing the principles in the book, my earnings did double in less than a year. Hill's advice ultimately sparked a fire in me that changed my entire attitude toward life. Without fully understanding it, I was engaging in the process of completely rebuilding my own thinking. I was, thought by thought, replacing the old cynical and passive orientation to life with a new, optimistic, and energetic attitude. So what was this master key to riches? Napoleon Hill tells us in his book, quote, "The great master key to riches is nothing more or less than the self-discipline necessary to help you take full and complete possession of your own mind. Remember, it is profoundly significant that the only thing over which you have complete control is your own mental attitude." Maybe the Hill book won't be your own key, but I promise you that you'll find your own instruction book if you keep looking. You'll find it when you're ready to seek. It's out there, waiting for you.
Number 5, plan your work.
Many of us think we're too depressed right now to start on a new course of self-creation, or we're too upset. But Napoleon Hill says that's the perfect time to learn life's most important rule. There is one unbeatable rule for the mastery of sorrows and disappointments, he says, and that's the transmutation of those emotional frustrations through definitely planned work. It's a rule which has no equal. Once we get the picture of who we want to be, definitely planned work is the path to self-motivation. Definitely planned work contains the energy of purpose. 1 hour of planning saves 3 hours of execution. Most of us don't take the time to plan for an hour. We don't understand that it'll be the most productive hour we spend. Instead, we wander into the workplace and react to crises, and ironically, most crises are a result of a failure to plan. Well, it is impossible to work passionately with a sense of purpose and feel depressed at the same time. Successfully planned work will motivate you to do more and more than you ever thought possible.
Number 6, move your goalposts.
Most people are surprised to learn that the reason they're not getting what they want in life is because their major goals are too small and too vague, and therefore have no power. Your major goal will not be reached if it fails to excite your imagination. What really increases motivation is the setting of a large and specific power goal. A power goal is a dream that drives you. People who have created power goals are living on purpose. They know what they're up to in life. How can you tell if you've got a big enough and real enough power goal? Simply observe the effect your goal has on you. It's not what a goal is that matters. It's what a goal does.
Number 7, dribble with your other hand.
If you've ever coached kids who play basketball, you know that most of them have a tendency to dribble with only one hand, the one attached to their dominant arm. When you notice a child doing this, you might call him aside and say, "Hey, Billy, you're dribbling with one hand. The defender can easily defend you. Your options are cut off. You need to dribble with the other hand, so that can't happen." At which point, Billy says, "I can't." "Billy, it's not that you can't. It's that you haven't." Then you explain to Billy that his other hand can dribble just as well if he logs enough bounces. It's just the simple formation of a habit. After enough practice dribbling with his other hand, Billy begins to learn you are right. And the same principle is true for reprogramming your own habits of thinking. Thinking is just like bouncing the ball. On the one hand, you can think pessimistically and build that side of you up. It's just a matter of repeating the bounces. On the other hand, you can think optimistically, one thought at a time, and build that side up. The overall pattern won't change after just a few positive bounces of the ball, but you do change, one thought at a time.
Number 8, play your character.
How you act is who you become. Consider these thoughts from Star Trek's Leonard Nimoy. Quote, "Spock had a big, big effect on me. I'm so much more Spock-like today than when I first played the part in 1965 that you wouldn't recognize me. I'm not talking about appearance, but thought processes. Doing that character, I learned so much about rational, logical thought that it reshaped my life. Now, just like Spock, we too can gain energy and inspiration by doing the character we want to be. We can become who we act like we are.
Number 9. Don't just do something. Sit there.
Sit quietly, absolutely alone, for a long time, all by yourself. Completely relax. Don't allow the television or music to distract you. Be with yourself. Observe insights starting to appear. Observe your relationship with yourself starting to get better. Sitting in silence allows your true dream in life to take shape and clarity. In modern, interactive, civilized life today, you're either living your dream or someone else's. And unless you give your dream the time and space it needs to express itself, you'll spend the better part of your life living the dreams of other people.
Number 10. Use the right chemicals.
Not real drugs, of course. Instead, get into those energizing chemicals already in your system that get activated when you laugh or sing or dance or run or hug someone. When you're having fun, your body chemistry changes and you get new surges of motivation and energy. Don't keep trying to go out searching for something that's fun. It's not out there anywhere. It's inside yourself. If you can't immediately see the fun in something, find a way to create it. Once you've made a job fun, you've solved the problem of self-motivation.
Number 11. Leave high school.
Most of us think we're stuck in high school forever. Before high school, in our earlier and more carefree childhoods, we were creative dreamers, filled with a boundless sense of energy and wonder. But in high school, something got turned around. We began fearing what others were thinking of us. All of a sudden, our mission in life became not to be embarrassed. We were afraid to look bad, and so we made it a point not to take risks. Most people end up designing their lives based on what other people might be thinking of them. But we can leave that habit behind. As Emerson asked, why should the way I feel depend on the thoughts in someone else's head?
Number 12. Lose face.
You can create a self that doesn't care that much what people think. You can motivate yourself by leaving the painful self-consciousness of high school behind. The actor René Auberjonois said, "Show me a guy who's afraid to look bad, and I'll show you a guy you can beat every time."
Number 13. Sing without feeling.
Become a performer. Act like you already feel like you want to feel. American philosopher William James put it very clearly. We do not sing because we are happy. We're happy because we sing. If you want to be happy, find the happiest song you know and sing it. It works.
Number 14. Kill your television.
If you're watching too much television and you know it, you might find it useful to ask this one question: which side of the glass do I want to live on? When you're watching television, you're watching other people do what they love doing for a living. Those people are on the best side of the glass because they're having fun and you're passively watching them have fun. They're getting money and you're paying. Groucho Marx once said he found television very educational. Every time someone turns it on, he said, I go in the other room to read a book.
Number 15. Read yourself a story.
Abraham Lincoln used to drive his law partners crazy. Every morning, he'd come into the office and read the daily newspaper aloud to himself. Why did Abe do this morning reading aloud? He'd discovered that he remembered twice as much when he read aloud than when he read silently. And what he did remember, he remembered for a much longer period of time. Anytime you have an opportunity to read something that's important to you, try reading it aloud. See if you don't make twice the impression on yourself.
Number 16. Get on your deathbed.
Many of us, including myself, keep pretending that our game has no end. We plan to do great things someday when we feel like it. Confronting our own death doesn't have to wait until we run out of life. In fact, being able to vividly imagine our last hours on our deathbed creates a paradoxical sensation, the feeling of being born all over again, and that's the first step to self-motivation.
Number 17. Be lazy to begin with.
Henry Ford used to point out to his colleagues that there wasn't any job that couldn't be handled if they were willing to break it down into small pieces. And when you've broken a job down, remember to allow yourself some laziness in beginning. Because it isn't important how fast you're doing it. What's important is that you are doing it. The irony is, the slower you start something, the faster you'll be finished. When you first think about doing something hard and overwhelming, you're most aware of how you don't want to do it at all. In other words, the mental picture you have of the activity, doing it fast and furiously, is not a happy picture. So you think of ways to avoid doing the job altogether. Thinking about starting slowly is easy, and doing it slowly allows you to actually start doing it. Therefore, it gets finished.
Number 18. Leave your friends.
Politely walk away from so-called friends who don't support your goals. When you're in a conversation with a pessimist, possibilities seem to have a way of disappearing, and a narrow sense of cynicism settles in. President Calvin Coolidge once said, "Cynics do not create." Everyone knows that enthusiasm for life is contagious, and being in a conversation with an optimist opens us up to see more and more of life's possibilities.
Number 19. Plan your game.
Design your own life's game plan. Let the game respond to you rather than the other way around. Be like Bill Walsh, the former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Everybody thought he was a kind of eccentric because of how extensively he planned his plays in advance of each game. Most coaches would wait to see how the game unfolded, then respond with plays that seemed appropriate. Not Bill Walsh. Walsh would pace the sidelines with a big sheet of plays that his team was going to run no matter what. He wanted the game to respond to him. Walsh won a lot of Super Bowls with his so-called eccentric proactive approach. But all he did was to act on the crucial difference between creating and responding.
Number 20. Find your inner Einstein.
The next time you see a picture of Albert Einstein, realize that that's actually you. Every human has the capacity for genius. To experience Einstein's creative level of thinking, all you have to do is commit to using your imagination. You know, this is sometimes a difficult recommendation for grown-ups to follow. Grown-ups have become accustomed to using their imaginations for only one thing, worrying. Grown-ups visualize worst-case scenarios all day long. All their energy for visualization is channeled into colorful pictures of what could go wrong. Worry is a misuse of the imagination. What people don't comprehend is that the human imagination was designed for better things. People who use their imaginations to create often achieve things that worriers never dream of achieving, even if the worriers have much higher IQs. Dreaming is the design stage of creating the future. Imagine yourself living a motivated life.
Number 21. Feel good first.
Most people think they'll feel good once they reach some goal. They think happiness is out there somewhere. The problem with putting off feeling good about yourself until you hit a certain goal is that it might never happen. By linking happiness to something you don't have yet, you're denying your power to create it for yourself in the moment. Your happiness is your birthright. It shouldn't depend on your achieving something. Start by claiming it and using it to make your journey fun all the way and not just fun at the end.
Number 22. Run toward your fear.
The world's best kept secret is that on the other side of your fear, there's something safe and beneficial waiting for you. If you work through even a small fear, you'll increase the confidence you have in your ability to create your life. General George Patton said, "Fear kills more people than death. Death kills us but once, and we usually don't even know it. But fear kills us over and over again, subtly at times and brutally at other times. The rush we get after running through the waterfall of fear is the most energizing feeling in the world. If you're ever in an undermotivated mood, find something you fear and do it, and watch what happens."
Number 23. Just be unexpected.
Most people don't see themselves as being creative, but we all are. And one of the reasons we don't see ourselves that way is that we normally associate being creative with being original. But creativity has nothing to do with originality, and it has everything to do with simply being unexpected. So if you're willing to accept that you are creative, you can begin to cultivate that side of yourself. You can start coming up with all kinds of unexpected solutions to the challenges that life throws at you.
Number 24. Create your relationships.
The Italian artist Luciano de Crescenzo said, "We are each of us angels with only one wing, so we can only fly embracing each other." And we can't create our truest selves without creating relationships in the process. Relationships are everywhere. In relationships, most of us think with our emotions, not our minds. But anytime you take a relationship problem up into the mind, you have unlimited opportunities to get creative. Conversely, when you send a relationship problem down the elevator into the heart, the gut, you risk staying stuck in that problem forever. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't feel anything. Feel everything. Notice your feelings, but don't think with your feelings. When there's a relationship problem to be solved, travel up the ladder to the most creative you. You'll soon realize that you create the relationships you have in your life. They don't just happen to you.
Number 25. Be where you are.
Most of us don't ever focus. We constantly feel a certain amount of psychic chaos because we're always trying to think of too many things at once. Focus on what you want, and it will come into your life. Focus on being a happy and motivated person, and that's who you'll be.
Number 26. Act like a hero.
We need heroes in our lives. They're not a sign of weakness. They're a source of strength. Bernard Malamud said, "Without heroes, we are all plain people and we don't know how far we can go. Heroes show us what's possible for a human being to accomplish. Therefore, heroes are very useful to anyone interested in self-motivation. You don't have to have just one hero. Choose a number of them. Put their pictures up. Become an expert in their lives. Collect books about them. Let your heroes' lives inspire you. They're only people like we are. What distinguishes them from us is the great levels they've reached in self-motivation. To just passively adore them is to insult our own potential. Instead of looking up to our heroes, it's much more beneficial to look into them."
Number 27. Accept your willpower.
You know, a lot of people say, "I don't have any willpower." But if you think you have no willpower, you're undermining your own success. Everyone has willpower. To be listening to this program, you've got to have willpower. The first step in developing your willpower is to accept its existence. The second step is to know that your willpower, like a muscle in your arm, is yours to develop. You're in charge of making it strong or letting it become weak. Willpower is not strengthened by random external circumstances. Willpower is an inside game. Make a promise to yourself to be clear and truthful about your own willpower. It's always there.
Number 28. Say no to yourself.
A lot of people are afraid of the word discipline. But at the root of the word discipline is the word disciple. When you're self-disciplined, you've simply decided, in matters of the will, to become your own disciple. Once you make that decision, your life's adventures get more interesting. You start to see yourself as a stronger person. You gain self-respect. Psychologist Abraham Heschel said, "Self-respect is the fruit of discipline. The sense of dignity grows with the ability to say no to oneself." Emerson said that when we say no to a temptation, the power of that temptation passes into our willpower. And William James recommended that we do at least two things every day that we don't want to do. By doing this, we stay powerfully aware of our own willpower.
Number 29. Make new word connections.
If you associate the word willpower with negative things such as harsh self-denial and punishment, you'll weaken your resolve to build it. Now, to increase your resolve, it's really useful to think of new word connections. For example, to weightlifters, failure is success. Unless they lift a weight to a point of failure, their muscles aren't growing. So they've programmed themselves through repetition to use the word failure in a positive sense. Language leads to power. So be conscious of the creative potential of all the language you use, and then guide that language in the direction of more personal power.
Number 30. Deprogram yourself.
If you're a regular consumer of the major news programs, you belong to a very persuasive and hypnotic cult. You need to be deprogrammed. Start by altering how you listen to the media. Program out all the negative, cynical, and skeptical thoughts that you now allow to flow into your mind unchecked when you hear the news. Once you've gotten good at factoring out the negative aspects of the media today, take it a step further. Make your own news. Be your own breaking story. Don't look to the media to tell you what's happening in your life. Be what's happening.
Number 31. Open the present.
Practice being awake in the present moment. Make the most of your awareness of this moment. Don't live in the past unless you like guilt. Don't live in the future unless you like fear. Just stay focused on today. Watch what happens to your motivation.
Number 32. Serve and grow rich.
You can motivate yourself by increasing the flow of money into your life. Most people are embarrassed to even think this way. They don't want to think and grow rich because they think they'll be thought of as greedy. Or maybe they still believe in the thoroughly discredited Marxist economic superstition that to make money, you have to take it away from somebody else. Or else they don't want to come across as being obsessed with money. But you know who's really obsessed with money? People who think they don't have enough. They obsess about money all day long. It's in their family discussions. It's in their minds at night. It becomes a destructive part of their relationships during the day. George Bernard Shaw said, "Our first duty in life is not to be poor. The road to not being poor always travels through your professional relationships. The more you serve those relationships, the more productive you'll become. And the more money you'll make." Allow yourself to link financial well-being with an increased capacity for compassion for others. If I'm living in poverty, how much love and attention can I give my children or to my fellow humans? How much help can I be to others if I'm always worried about being in debt?
Number 33. Imitate Columbo.
In your professional life, whatever it is, always be curious. When you meet with someone, think of yourself as a bumbling but friendly private detective like Columbo was. Ask questions. By asking questions in your relationships, you're already creating the relationship, and you're already self-motivated. You don't have to wait for the other person to make it happen.
Number 34. Give away some power.
Motivate yourself by giving someone else the ideas necessary for self-motivation. You can have any experience you want in life simply by giving that experience away to someone else. John Lennon called it instant karma. If you want to be motivated, shift your inspiration to someone else. Point out their strengths. Offer encouragement and support. Watch what it does for you.
Number 35, talk to yourself.
We've always been a little nervous culturally about talking to ourselves. We associate it with insanity. But Plato said that thinking was the soul talking to itself. There's no one better to talk to than yourself if you really want to get things worked out. No other person has as much information about your problems. No one knows your skills and capabilities better. Nathaniel Brandon suggests that we get our creative thinking going each morning by asking ourselves two questions. One, what's good in my life? And two, what is there still to be done? Because thought always precedes action, talking to yourself is a proven way to get motivated.
Number 36, schedule your comebacks.
Progress toward your goals is never going to be a straight line. It'll always be a wavy line. You'll go up and then come down a little. Two steps forward and one step back. Now, most people get discouraged when they slide a step back after the two steps forward. They think they're failing. They think they've lost it. But they really haven't. They're simply in step with the natural rhythm of progress. Now, once you understand this rhythm, you can look ahead on your calendar and block out time to refresh, renew, recover. Schedule your comeback while you're on top. Build in big periods of time to get away. Even to get away from what you love. Because coming back is going to be that much more exciting when you've been renewed.
Number 37. Live your true life.
The psychologist David Viscott wrote, "When you say you fear death, you're really saying that you fear you've not lived your true life. This fear cloaks the world in silent suffering. How do you know what your true life is? How do you know how to live it? First, find out what makes you happy, and then start doing that. Now, if writing makes you happy and you're not writing for a living, you might want to start up a company newsletter. When I first realized that speaking and teaching made me happy, I started a free weekly workshop. I didn't just wait until something was offered to me. There's no goal better than this one, to know, as you lie in your deathbed, that you lived your true life. You did what it was that made you happy.
Number 38. Get up on the right side of the bed.
Since I was a child, I've always been intrigued with the idea that you could have a great day just by getting up on the right side of the bed. Today, my fascination is not so much with the right side of the bed as it is with the right side of the head, or, to be more precise, the right side of the brain. In the 1930s, brain surgeons discovered the different functions of the two halves of the brain while working on epileptics. In 1950, Roger W. Sperry made the greatest breakthroughs in discovering that dreams and energy and creative insight come from the right side of the brain, and linear, logical, short-term, and short-sighted thinking came from the left side of the brain. The best explanation for how whole brain thinking surpasses left brain thinking or right brain thinking is in a book written by British philosopher Colin Wilson called Frankenstein's Castle. Wilson reveals that we have more control over drawing vital energy and creative ideas from the right brain than we ever realized. And what stimulates the right brain the most is a high sense of purpose. If you had to carry a heavy sack of sand across town, your left brain might get upset and tell you, well, you're doing something boring and tedious. However, let's say your child were injured. Let's say your little girl were injured badly, and she weighed the same as the huge bag of sand. You'd carry her the same distance to a hospital with a surprising surge of vital energy. That energy would be sent from the right brain. And that's what purpose does to the brain. Self-motivation increases when the left brain gets good at telling the right brain what to do.
Number 39. Use your magic machine.
Most people wait for an external crisis. Oh, a threatened bankruptcy, or an attack on the street, or the burning down of their home, or an unwanted divorce, to finally kick in their whole brain thinking. But you know, that leads to a life of reaction rather than creation. The three best ways to activate whole brain thinking are through goal setting, joyful work, and revitalizing play. So rather than wait for some external crisis to appear, you can create an internal challenge of your own. Goals and games. Goals and games motivate you more than anything else in the world.
Number 40. Get your stars out.
Terry Hill, the New York writer, has been a friend of mine since the sixth grade. He gives lectures and seminars on creativity. His advice to his audiences on the subject of creativity is from J.D. Salinger, and that is, make sure you get your stars out. And this is another way of saying, let the universe that is in you shine freely. Don't try too hard to force things. Just get your stars out and let them shine.
Number 41, be a finisher.
Do you want to know where fatigue really comes from? It doesn't come from working too hard. All the research shows that fatigue comes from not finishing your work. William James once wrote, "Nothing is so fatiguing as the hanging on of an uncompleted task." I was giving a self-motivation seminar recently. During one of the breaks, a man came up to me and he said, "Hey, you know what? My problem is I never seem to finish anything. I'm always off onto something before anything's completed." He then asked whether I could give him some affirmations that might alter this. So I said, "Do you think affirmations are what you need? I mean, if you had to learn to use a computer, could you do it by sitting on your couch and repeating the affirmation, 'I know how to use a computer. I'm great at using computers. I'm a wizard on a computer.'" He admitted that affirmations would probably have no effect on his ability to use a computer. So the best way to change your belief system is to change the truth about you, I told him. To believe that you're a good finisher, you've got to build a personal record of finishing tasks. He followed my suggestions, and he followed them with great enthusiasm. He bought a notebook, and at the top of the first page he wrote, "Things I've finished." Each day, he made a point of setting small tasks and finishing them. Whereas in the past, he was inclined to start sweeping his front walk and leave it unfinished when the phone rang, now he'd let the phone ring so he could finish the job and record it in his notebook. The more things he wrote down, the more confident he became that he really was becoming a finisher. Consider how much more permanent his belief change was than if he tried to do it with affirmations. He could have whispered to himself all night long, "I am a great finisher." But his right brain would have known better. We motivate ourselves by finishing things.
Number 42. Invent games.
So whatever it is that you have to do, whether it's a major project at work, a huge cleaning job at home, turning it into a game will always bring you higher levels of energy and motivation.
Number 43. Interact.
There's a huge difference between active relaxation and passive relaxation. Active relaxation refreshes and restores the mind. It keeps it flexible and toned for thinking. Great thinkers have known this secret for a long time. Winston Churchill, for example, used to paint to relax. Albert Einstein played the violin. They could relax one part of the brain while stimulating another. When they returned to workaday pursuits, they were fresher and sharper than ever. Most of us simply deaden the mind in order to relax. We rent mindless videos or read tabloids. We drink, we smoke, we eat until we're foggy and bloated. The problem with this form of relaxation is that it dulls our creativity and it makes it hard to come back into consciousness. But when we find ways to link thinking to recreation, our lives get richer. We become players in the game of life and not just spectators.
Number 44. Live a whole life today.
John Wooden was the most successful college basketball coach of all time. His UCLA teams won 10 national championships in 12 years. Wooden created a major portion of his coaching and living philosophy from one thought, a single sentence passed on to him by his father when Wooden was a little boy. That thought: make each day your masterpiece. While other coaches would try to gear their players to some kind of important game in the future, Wooden always focused on today. His practice sessions at UCLA were every bit as important as any championship game. In his philosophy, there was no reason not to make today the proudest day of your life. Today is a microcosm of your entire life. It's your whole life in miniature. You've got eternity in the palm of your hand. Life is now. Life is not later on. And the more we hypnotize ourselves into thinking we have all the time in the world to do what we want to do, the more we sleepwalk and the more we miss life.
Number 45. Welcome your problems.
Every solution has a problem. You can't have one without the other. So why do we say that we hate problems? Why do we claim to want a hassle-free existence? Deep down, where our wisdom lives, we know that problems are not to be feared. Problems are simply tough games for the athletes of the mind, and true athletes always want to get a game going. If you learn to love the opportunities your problems present, then your motivational energy will always rise. Every solution has a problem.
Number 46. Drive a library.
One of the greatest opportunities for motivating yourself today lies in the way you use your drive time. With a huge variety of audio tapes now available, you can use your time on the road to educate and motivate yourself at the same time. Maybe that's where you're listening to this tape right now. If we leave what we think about to chance or to an R-rated rock disc jockey, then we lose a large measure of control over our own minds. Audio cassette learning is one of the surest ways to reprogram your subconscious mind. It's one of the best ways to design an action-oriented belief system, the kind you need to inspire ongoing self-motivation.
Number 47. Rewind your thoughts.
Perhaps you've noted some idea in this program or some recent book you've read that you want to hold on to. Even a single phrase, if you place it prominently in your home or in your office, can have a huge impact on your life. So write things down. Put things up. Write down what motivates you and put it up where you can see it.
Number 48. Make yourself up.
One of the ways to get started creating goals and action plans is just make them up like you did as a kid. Think of creating in simpler terms than that. Think of it as something that all humans do very easily. The French physician Émile Coué said, "Always think of what you have to do as easy, and it will be."
Number 49. Get small.
Most people participating in the free enterprise system have become thoroughly convinced of the power of setting large and specific long-range goals for themselves. Career goals, yearly goals, and monthly performance goals are always on the mind of a person with ambition. But many people overlook altogether the power of small goals. Goals set during the day that give energy to the day and a sense of achieving a lot of small wins along the way. By increasing your conscious use of small objectives, you'll see the larger objectives coming into reality much faster than you thought they would.
Number 50. Get out of the box.
All of us tend to look at our challenges from inside a box. We take what we've done in the past and put it in front of our eyes and then try to envision what we call the future. But you see, that restricts our future. With that kind of restricted view, the best the future could possibly be is a new and better past. Great motivational energy occurs when we get out of that box and realize that the possibilities for creative ideas are infinite. To create the best possible future for yourself, don't try to look at it through a box containing your own past. Create the future from nothing.